book of Joshua, as we've been reminded. Last time we looked at Caleb, and I think we'll discover when we look at the life of Joshua that what we learned from his life couldn't be more up to date and applicable for the day in which we live today. We'll read then from Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and his Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, though I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And over to chapter 5, please, and verse 13. This is the part of the children's storybook that you never find in their stories, but this is the very motive for Joshua going out to take on Jericho. Verse 13, and it came to pass, incidentally, it's worth looking at the previous two verses, because it was at this point we see as another study in itself, the wonderful timing of God. For 40 years they'd eaten manna in the wilderness, and now God brings them into the land that is promised them. And in verse 11 of chapter 5, they kept the Passover, and on that very day afterward, the manna ceased. In verse 12, and they'd eaten of the old corn, neither did the children of Israel have manna any more, for they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. God brought them in perfect timing when the harvest was ripe. They kept the Passover, and God sustained them from then on with the produce of the land. Verse 13 then, and it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what says my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valour. And ye shall compass this city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And finally, please, to chapter 24 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Verse 14. Now therefore, says Joshua, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 29. And it came to pass, after these things, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we give thee thanks to opportunity, as we've thought already, to come into thy presence, thy holy presence, to read thy word. Father, we've all been involved in different activities this day. We pray now, indeed, thou just quiet our hearts, that in thy presence we might be still. And Father, we just pray that as we read and consider thy word together, we pray indeed that we might be taught of thee. We pray that we might be like the psalmist, to be still and to know that thou art God. And Father, we just pray that we might be taught, encouraged, and we pray indeed that we might hear thee speak to each one of us, that we might be blessed through the reading of thy word. For Father, we ask these things and seek thy help in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. It's a reminder when Justin was given the notices just how quick the year was going. He was giving out the strawberry tea in June. I was thinking, well, nearly halfway through the year. At breakfast this morning, we had Caleb, Emma and Levi staying with us to go to the wedding yesterday. And Caroline said, what's the date? I said, the 7th of May. And little Emma says, God, the year's going quick, isn't it? I thought, you're 8. You're not supposed to think like that. Well, I've been very exercised as we've looked at these two characters, Caleb and Joshua. And the reason we look at them is because they were the two good spies, as we thought last time when we looked at Numbers chapter 13, that gave a good report as they went out to spy out the land. We remember they went out to spy out the land because of their unbelief. They asked that they might send spies. God had promised them the land, but they asked for spies, and God allowed them to send spies out, as we considered last time. And we've thought already this evening in our prayers that we are very much today in a minority. And Joshua and Caleb were in a minority in their day. And they were in a minority amongst the leaders of Israel. Because the 12 spies, as we read from Numbers, were chosen from amongst the leaders of the tribes. And they found themselves in the minority, even amongst such a company as that. 10 of them were in unbelief, unbelieving that God could deliver them from that which they had just seen. But to Caleb, it was not a problem. To him, the presence of high walls and giants were insignificant. And he knew that God could overcome. And we considered last time, didn't we, that in his old age, he accomplished what he desired to do in his youth. That he finished the job that he thought he could do, that God would deliver into his hand the sons of Anak. And Joshua, when he was 85 years old, he defeated the sons of Anak and finished what he knew God could do some 40 years earlier. And we saw how God rewarded them for their faith, that both Caleb and Joshua were allowed to enter into the promised land. And here in Joshua chapter 1, we're beginning to see something of the character now of Joshua. It was Caleb that stood out before, but now we're going to look at Joshua. Not so much a study of Jericho, that's a study in itself, how they took the city, but it's more a study of the character of Joshua that I feel exercised to look at this evening. Of course, we're not possibly going to do him justice to consider all his life in just a few moments this evening, but perhaps we might just have a few appetites to and thoughts to go away, and to perhaps to read and to consider more concerning his life. Of course, we're introduced to Joshua, aren't we, as a warrior at the very beginning. There back in Exodus, it was Moses that called Joshua. Choose men was the decree, that choose us some men that they might go out to fight with Amalek. And it was Joshua and Hur that stood with Moses as the children of Israel fought their first enemy against Amalek. And now when we come to the book of Joshua, we discover they're coming into the land that God has promised them. And now Moses has died. And we discover that Joshua is going to be taken up by the Lord in succession to Moses. Joshua was the minister. He was the assistant to Moses. You know, it's good to have ambition to do the work and the service of the Lord. It's said in the New Testament that if you desire the office of an overseer, of an elder, it's a good thing. But it's not something that you're appointed to. It's something that a person does and then is recognized. But you work towards these things. And it was just the same for Joshua. He was going to be given the tremendous responsibility of leading the people of God. But it wasn't without his apprenticeship. You know, apprenticeships these days get smaller and smaller, don't they? But you know, Moses had an 80-year apprenticeship before God took him up to use him for 40 years. 40 years he was in the in Pharaoh's palace. For 40 years he was in the desert learning patience and to walk with God. And then God took him up after 80 years to lead the people of God for 40 years. Joseph was no different. Joseph was given a great administrative job to rule and to run the whole land of Egypt. But you know, just as the New Testament says, lay hands suddenly on no man, so they didn't lay suddenly hands on Joseph either. By the time Pharaoh chose him to be second in command of the whole land of Egypt, he was well schooled in administration, in Potiphar's household. He'd learned what it was to be responsible, and Potiphar left everything in his care. Then on to the prison. And the jailer in the Egyptian prison learned what it was to leave everything into the care of Joseph. So when Joseph was raised up to be ruler of the land of Egypt, he was experienced at administration. He was experienced at being responsible. And he learned what it was to be responsible and faithful, even in small things. And God took him up and used him for greater things. And of course, we can think of a Samuel, who learned what it was as a young child being schooled by Eli there in the temple. It's a good principle, isn't it, to appreciate that as we grow, we are learning. And God is using the experiences of our lives that we might be moulded, ready for further responsibility and service, perhaps, as the Lord might lead. But you know, when we come to these verses here, we discover three very simple principles as to what motivated Joshua to be a leader and to be a soldier of God to go out. They were fighting, of course, physical battles. They had a physical enemy to overcome. And when they were to come to Jericho, it was a fortified wall and city that was impenetrable. That they were to seek to overcome. And the people in Jericho had sat there for 40 years, hadn't they? Since the spies first went out and said, this is too great. And they were still sitting there in their city, 40 years on. And now Jericho was going to fall into their hands. And Joshua was going to lead the people around Jericho, as we shall consider in a moment. But Joshua had learned from the very beginning what it was to be a good soldier. And when we come to the Word of God, we see how applicable this is, that God has called us to be good soldiers. We're reminded, of course, from the Word of God that we don't fight a physical war. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, says the Apostle as he writes in 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. Well, that was certainly going to be their experience here in Joshua chapter 6. Through their faith, they indeed were going to be able to bring down strongholds. And in our Christian lives, the Lord desires that we should be strong and very courageous. He gives words of encouragement to Joshua And he gives words of encouragement to you and I today as well, that we might be strong. He calls us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier that we might be prepared to endure hardness and difficulties. It is not easy following the Lord. Why should it be? The Lord said that his servants are not greater than their Lord. This world hated him. They rejected him. We're not to be surprised, are we, that the government of our day and society in which we live has no time or care for the scriptures or its principles. Why should they? They hated him. They rejected the Saviour. And the Lord is reminding us that the one who we seek to follow is rejected by this world. And Joshua indeed was called to be a soldier, to be strong. And God is calling us that we should be prepared to be a soldier, to endure difficulties and hardness. My, when we think of the parable of the sower, that's what we see there, don't we? There were those that with joy they sprang up, but they weren't hard. They didn't endure the difficulties. They were rather choked by the thorns and the thistles and the cares of this world. They had no real root. Their faith was not really in the Saviour. And so they were overcome by the difficulties and choked by this world. The Word of God teaches us that we should be prepared to endure difficulties. That's what we've been called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So as we thought last time, all this has been written for our learning. It's been recorded for us today in New Testament times, that we might see what Joshua did in a physical way, to appreciate that this is what we need to do in a spiritual way, in our conflict for the Lord. The first thing we discover here, of course, from Joshua, is that he was given the promises of God. God promised him the land. My, this has been a long-standing promise, hasn't it? Caleb had said before, look, the land's here, let's go in and possess it. But of course, all the others were hardened in their heart and in their unbelief. Joshua was promised again by the Lord, we're going to give you the land. It's going to be yours. So be strong and courageous. The Lord is going to give them the land. And he reiterates the promise to Joshua. You know, when we come to the Word of God, we've got far more promises than Joshua was ever given. They only had at that time the first five books of the law that Moses had written. And the promise that God had given that he was going to give them the land. And the extent of the borders to which to this day they've never experienced and possessed. That will be in the coming day. But the Lord has promised it to them and it will be theirs. You know, we come to the scriptures that we have from Genesis to Revelation. And it's full of promises. And we should lay hold upon the promises that God has given us. You know, one of the promises that God has given us is that the Lord is coming again. He said it himself. If I go away, I will come again. I've often said it, you know, we should be living in the light of this. So often, we're all guilty of this. We get so occupied with the things of this life that we forget to live in the light and the promise that the Lord is coming. And so we could go on. There are many promises that we could list. But we need to remember that we value them not because that they're promises. We value them because of the one who made the promise. You know, we all have that plastic money in our hand, unless you're using just contactless cards. But you know, the plastic money that we trade and we use, we value it because it's just a promise. Not a plastic piece of paper. But it's a promise on the side. It says, I promise to pay the bearer the sum of £5, £10, whatever it is. But we value it because of who made that promise, the government, the Bank of England. And we trust the government to honour its commitment. And so we trust the promises of God because of the one who's made them, the one who cannot lie, the one who is truth. We trust God, and so we should hold to his promises. So Joshua, he had the promises of God, but more than that, he had the Word of God. He had the Word of God. They had the law that Moses had given, but we have now the complete Word of God, as Jude reminds us. The faith has been once and for all delivered to the saints. We have the whole truth of the Word of God delivered to us. And the simple principle that God says to Joshua from the Word of God that had been given, don't deviate from it, from the left hand or to the right hand. To make your way prosperous, you need to keep to it. You need to fulfill it. You need to obey it. The first thing he was told to do was this, that you shouldn't deviate from the left hand or to the right hand, but that you should meditate in it day and night. Have you ever noticed these days that whenever you ask anybody how they are, they say, well, I'm so busy. People are always busy. It's a bane of modern life, you know. It almost seems people are afraid to say, well, I'm not that busy, because you then perhaps are saying, I'm not really that important, really. I've got so busy. But you know, from a Christian point of view, if we're saying that we're always so busy, are we really saying then that we don't have time to read the scriptures? We don't have time to meditate. To meditate is to think upon. And that takes time. You know, the older brethren years ago would get up really early and they would spend time in the scriptures. In the day and the pressures in which we live today, these things can really get squashed out, can't they? Let us not be so busy that we don't have time to read and to meditate, to think upon. You know, this was the dilemma, wasn't it, that Martha had. She was she was busy with so many things. And she says, look, Mary's not doing her part. She's sitting at the feet. And the Lord has said, well, Mary has chosen that good part. Both were necessary. It was necessary to serve the Lord. But it was necessary to sit at his feet and to meditate and to think upon him. And so both are necessary. If we all just sit at his feet, then those who are working are overburdened, aren't they? We need both. We need the balance. But let us never be so busy that we don't have time to meet, to read, but especially to meditate, to think upon. You know, the righteous man of Psalm 1, he would do that. He would meditate in the scriptures day and night. Let us not turn from it, from the left or from the right, but to seek to obey it and to put it into practice in our lives. Because then the Lord says, you will be prosperous in the way that you shall go. And then in verse 7, look, then you shall, if you keep what is written, then you will make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, so many, even Christians today, wonder why their lives, their Christian lives, don't go well. It's because they've made wrong decisions. Because often they haven't held to the principle of the Word of God. And that's been much in our thought and our prayers this evening, hasn't it? A Christian life, a married Christian family, is completely at odds and contrary to the way the world is heading and thinking. But to depart and to be moulded by the world in its thinking, the way they would have us to live, is not the way to be prosperous. The way to be prosperous is to meditate and to live according to the Word of God. You know, we're under, in a day that we've never been under so much pressure in our Christian lives, especially for young couples getting married, to live as the world wants them to live. You know, I've seen it all through my career. People who wanted more, but you know, I've learnt that less is more. So often, everyone goes out to work, husband and wife. And you know what I've seen at work? All those that went out, they ended up living separate lives. They ended up with their marriages failing at the end of their lives. They've lost their pensions. They've lost their mortgages have been doubled. They're in financial ruin. If only they'd have lived to be more content with what they had, they would have been prosperous in their way. That's the way the world would have us to live. But you know, we can't have it both. And the Word of God encourages us that we should live in our Christian lives, in our young married lives, according to the pattern in the Word of God. And then we shall make our way prosperous. Not necessarily to be financially prosperous, but to be like Gaius in John's third letter. He was prosperous. Why? Because he was walking in truth. He wasn't necessarily financially well off, and he certainly wasn't in health, because the apostle said, I wish that you were in health, even as your soul is prospering. But he was prospering spiritually, because he was walking in truth. Joshua was given the word of God, and God says, don't deter from it, from the left or to the right, but to walk in it, and then your way will be prosperous. And the Lord finally says to Joshua in chapter 1, look, this is the other reason you can be encouraged, because one, you have the promises of God, you have the word of God, but furthermore, you have the presence of God. God says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Wherever you go, whether it's up against the enemies of Jericho or whoever you go in the land, I will be with thee and I will not forsake thee. What a wonderful promise that we have, isn't it, from the Lord, that wherever we go, the Lord will be with us. This same promise, this same quotation is taken up in Hebrews. It wasn't just applicable to Joshua. It's applicable to us as the people of God. The verse is quoted in Hebrews for you and for I, that God will not forsake us nor leave us. There is tremendous blessing in knowing that the Lord is always with us. And this is seen when we come to chapter 5, and the Lord and Joshua now comes to Jericho. Well, we know the story of Jericho. Tremendous study in itself, how God delivered the children of Israel, or delivered Jericho into their hands. But it's not the subject really you want to take up, but it was the motive. What motivated them to do what they did? I reckon the people of Jericho must have had a really good laugh as they watched and ridiculed and mocked the people of God and the priests walk round the city daily as they did until the seventh, when they compassed the city seven times. They laughed and they mocked. You know, they did that to the Lord, didn't they? When he said concerning Jairus' daughter, she's not dead but sleeping. He says they laughed him to scorn. The one who's the life, they laughed him to scorn. He raised her to life again. But they mocked and they jeered, just as sadly they do today. But Joshua came to Jericho, and they were now going to take the city. And as Joshua came to Jericho, in verse 13, we read this. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and there stood a man. There stood a man. What I was going to say, actually, in relation to meditating upon the word of God, it's interesting, by the way, that that's the first time in the scriptures the word is used to meditate. Probably not with that significance, because the law had been given, the first five books of the Bible. Now it's been given, now you need to meditate in it. And so we've been given all the scriptures, and now we need to read and to meditate. Well, Joshua came in chapter 5, and as he stood before Jericho, he sees a man with a sword in his hand. Who was this? Who was this man that stood before Joshua outside Jericho? Well, if we look at other scriptures, we discover very clearly that this indeed was the angel of the Lord, because he stood there with a sword in his hand. You know, Balaam's ass saw him. As the ass was travelling and walking with Balaam, he saw the angel of the Lord standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. And David saw the same thing. When he was in 2 Chronicles, in relation, he'd been asked, he numbered the men of war, and God dealt with him. I'll leave you to look that up, another story. But over Jerusalem, he saw the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn, ready to act in judgment. This was a man. It's interesting that the word here that's used for man is the very same word that's used in Genesis. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife. A verse I'm sure was read yesterday at the wedding. So the one who Joshua saw was a man. A real man. But look what we discover next. This man, Joshua is to ask him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Well, the Lord didn't answer the question directly. He said, no, but I come as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I come. And Joshua fell on his face and he worshipped. He worshipped a man. He worshipped a man. John sought to do that, didn't he? When he came to Revelation, he fell down before the angel. And the angel forbid him, said, don't worship me. You worship only God. Only God is to be worshipped. And so we see very clearly from the scriptures here that the one who stood before Joshua, the one who stood before Balaam's ass, the one who stood over Jerusalem, the one who stood before Abraham and on many other occasions, was none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And this was further demonstrated by the fact that the Lord said to him, "The place on which you stand is holy ground." And Joshua took his shoes off, and as the Lord told him, and he came and he worshipped him. This was none other than the Lord Jesus here in presence as a man before he ever came into this world. As we know indeed, he could say, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is indeed the ever-existing one. And the one who is eternal, who stood outside Jericho, was indeed the Lord himself. How interesting that when we come to the New Testament and we read in Luke 19 that the Lord Jesus came to Jericho when he called Zacchaeus out of that tree. He'd been that way there before. Of course, the Lord has been everywhere, is everywhere, omnipresent. But in a different way, as a man, he'd stood before Jericho when he spoke to Joshua. And now in Luke 19, he speaks to Zacchaeus. It's interesting also that Joshua was the assistant, was the servant, the apprentice of Moses. God had revealed himself, and again it was the angel of the Lord in the flame, the Lord Jesus himself who appeared to Moses in the flame and gave the same experience to Joshua. Moses took his shoes off and stood on holy ground as the Lord spoke to him. And here Joshua, as Moses' assistant, again strengthening Joshua, he comes and he stands on holy ground. They were still in enemy territory. They were in Canaan. Isn't it a privilege for you and I that we can come and deal and handle things that are holy? To come into the presence of the Lord, not needing a building, but wherever two or three are gathered in his name, even in enemy territory, we can come and we can gather and touch things that are holy and gather in the Lord's holy presence and read his holy word. So what was it that motivated Joshua? We can see here that there were a number of things here, very simply. The first and the foremost was this, that Joshua, as he went to take Jericho, he had the Lord before him. The Lord before him. It was the Lord that motivated him. It was the Lord that he was following. He said to the Lord, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" He fell down before him and asked the Lord what he would have him to do. He acknowledged indeed that the Lord Jesus is Lord, captain of the army. You know, this is the first principle in our service, isn't it? We don't do things to impress people, because if you do, I tell you, it won't last very long. You'll soon be discouraged. We don't do things for notoriety or for self-gain, or at least we shouldn't. That won't sustain us in our Christian lives. We'll soon be like those that sprang up. We'll soon be choked amongst the thorns. But those that go on to serve the Lord and become good soldiers of Jesus Christ are those who have the Lord before them in faith. To realise that we are following him, irrespective of what others will do. Joshua and Caleb were following the Lord in spite of the fact that the other leaders of Israel were not. And all the people did not follow either. And that whole generation were lost in the wilderness. But Joshua followed because he had the Lord before him in faith. He worshipped him. How important that it is that we serve the Lord in an attitude of reverence and worship. You know, you won't find in the scriptures a clear definition of what worship is. Worship is not just a three quarters of an hour on a Sunday morning. That's part of it. But worship is our attitude to the Lord continually, a reverential respect when we appreciate who he is that we seek to follow and to serve. So to follow and to be a good soldier, we need to have the Lord before us. We need to be prepared to worship him. We need to be prepared to obey him. He was told to take his shoes off. He did that. The Lord gave Joshua the instructions as to how they were to take Jericho. It wasn't Joshua's idea to walk round the city. How foolish was that? You know, the Bible tells us this. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise and the mighty. They laughed them to scorn, I'm sure, no doubt, as they watched them walk round the city. Their walls had stood for 40 years against them. Nothing could touch them, they thought. But God was going to use foolish things to confound them and to show his might and his power. And so they marched round according to the instruction of the word of God. You know, I'm sure the world would think we're absolutely crazy, even Christendom, to the way that we gather on a Sunday morning, just around a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. But it's not our idea, is it? We didn't think of it. It was the Lord himself. We follow his instructions, his word. And so we gather according to what the Lord himself had asked us to do. And that's why we do it. That's why we're baptized. Because the Lord himself has asked us to follow him and to be baptized. And so Joshua, he was prepared and willing to obey the Lord. And he believed the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him. Joshua took all the army and the priests and the ark, and they marched round Jericho, believing in their hearts that God was going to fulfill their word. How foolish they would be if they did that and they didn't believe it. What would happen on the seventh day if, you know, well, we'll try it. They believed it with all their hearts. They would never have done what they did if they did not believe God. Naaman's servant believed God, didn't she? When she told him to go to Elisha, the man of God, there's a God in Israel who will cure him. She'd never known it before, but she believed God and believed that God could do it. And Joshua walked round according to the word of God, believing that God could do it. And we know the outcome. God brought the walls down. They didn't crumble. He says they brought them down flat so that you can go straight to take them. They didn't fall down to be an obstacle to them. God brought the walls down, except for Rahab's part. We haven't got time to consider all of that. And they went straight and they took the city. Well, finally, as time's going, the last point we just want to consider, at the end of Joshua's life, we considered last time, didn't we, with Caleb, how important that it is to finish well as it is to start well in the service of the Lord. Here in Shechem, in chapter 24, Joshua gets the elders and all the people together, and he reminds them what God has done for them. He reminds them of what they've come from, because so often they had neglected God. They turned to their idols and they did not serve him. And Joshua says in verse 14, look, you've got the opportunity now to make a decision to continue as you have done in worshipping all the idols that you've done in the past, or you can choose to serve the living God. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, the first question we could ask is this. Many people say, well, what about him? What's he going to do? What's she going to do? You know, what about me? What about them? There are people that gather in other places. What about them? Are they keeping to the word of God? It's not for us to ask that question. I'm reminded what the Lord said to Peter, you know, when Peter said that. What about John? What will he do? You told me what I'm going to do. What about him? And the Lord says, what's that to thee? You follow me. And so that's the first exercise that we should have. The Lord is calling us individually to follow him. And the other very simple principle is this. Joshua finished as he started. You know, sometimes it's not difficult, you know, to live our Christian lives. What's difficult is to put it into practice. Sometimes we think, well, what is the will of God for my life? How can I make a success? What does God want me to do? Well, in his word, he tells us what his will is. What we have to do is what Joshua did, to decide to follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Irrespective of what the rest of the elders and the people of Israel do, Joshua says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, God hasn't made us like robots. He has given us a free choice. He's given us his word. He's indwelled us by his spirit. He gives us words of encouragement. But you know, God leaves us to make decisions in our lives. We decide. You know, one of my favorite choruses when I was younger was, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's easy to sing those words, isn't it? It's different to put it into practice. You know, we make decisions to follow the Lord in small ways. We decide, you decide, whether or not we are going to read our Bibles every day. We decide whether or not we're going to pray every day. We decide whether or not we're going to attend the meetings. We decide whether we're going to serve the Lord and serve Him. We decide whether we're going to be involved. And so the list could go on. We make those decisions. The Lord doesn't make them for us. Joshua decided for him and his family he would serve the Lord. We make those decisions every day. You know, sometimes it's surprising, and I don't say that unsympathetically, people go through difficulties. But it's not surprising, is it, when people decide not to come to the meetings, that they then decide not to pray, they then decide not to read their Bibles, and then they wonder why their lives are so difficult, and they're tempted, and they're pulled away, and the world appeals to them. The responsibility, if we're a Christian, lies with us, as it did with Joshua. We decide. And if we have a family, you're responsible as the for the fathers, for the head of the family, to have the influence upon that family, to decide its character and to decide its direction. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't be discouraged by others, Joshua says. I'm not going to be discouraged whether you're going to follow the Lord. He is encouraging the others to follow. But the decisions that has to be with them. You know, the commission the Lord gave us is to go out into the world and make disciples, not to see people being saved. It's great, isn't it, when we see them being saved. But you know, that's not the commission. That's part of it. The commission is to make disciples, those who will follow. Of course, we can't do that. We can only teach and encourage, because that decision comes in the heart of an individual as exercised and spoken to by God. What God desires is that we might love Him and follow Him, worship Him, reverence Him, and decide in our lives to commit our lives to Him. Joshua called the man who stood before him at Jericho, Lord. What will you have me to do? He acknowledged him as the Holy One of God, and he removed his shoes and he worshipped him, just as the wise men came and they worshipped him when he came into the world as a babe. They appreciated who he is, the eternal Son of God. Simple things, aren't they, really? Things that we all know. But increasingly in the day in which we live, let us not be discouraged by what others might be doing. God has given us his word. Let us not turn from it, from the left or to the right. In whatever sphere the scriptures teach, we could list many things, couldn't we? We touched on a few, but many things. We need to read all the scriptures. Not to turn from it to the left or the right. And God promises that if we do that, we'll be prosperous. Out of favour in the world, no doubt, they'll think us strange, that we don't live as they do. Our attitudes and our thinking is not like theirs. But the more we meditate upon the word of God, the more we'll appreciate the way that God wants us to think and not the way of the world thinks. Totally contrary to that. So we need to have the Lord before us, to meditate in his word, to be prepared to worship and to follow him, and to make that decision daily in our lives for every aspect of our service. We can't blame others when we don't read our Bibles. That decision is ours alone, to spend time to read his word. Might the Lord just encourage us as we reflected something of the character of Joshua and what made him prosperous in the things of the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we do give thee thanks for thy word. We thank thee for the encouragement of a character like Joshua. The tremendous things that he did, the victories that he made and accomplished, not in his own strength, but in thy strength. Victories that were accomplished through obeying thy word and through thy will. Father, we thank thee that thou hast given us thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, in whom we have trusted. Father, we appreciate we live in a difficult world, a world that's totally contrary and increasingly so to thy word and to thy mind. Father, we pray thou'd help us to be like Joshua, that we might decide today and to continue to do so, that we might say with Joshua that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we realise it's not in our own strength, but Father, we look to thee for help and strength and encouragement, that indeed we might seek to do the things that Joshua did, that we might indeed be like Gaius, a man indeed who walked in truth and was prosperous in his soul. Father, we ask thou just keep thy word upon our minds. Encourage us through it, we pray. We ask now thou take us to our homes in safety. And we give thee our thanks in our Saviour's name. Amen.